Welcome to The Business Wilderness, a podcast focused on the world of entrepreneurs and the best practices they need to follow to navigate the complex world of business. We feature thought-provoking topics and industry experts on every show.
Welcome to The Business Wilderness. My name is Ahmed, and today I have a very special guest, Mr. Eric Neal. Eric, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Hey, Ahmed. I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Eric, my absolute pleasure. Let's get back in time, Eric. Who were you as a young man at school and growing up?
In school and growing up, I was probably, I was all over the place in a good way. I was really interested in a lot of different things. I definitely was more creatively inclined. My studies were across the board. I loved science and maths, but loved the arts as well. So I was pretty general. I guess more in college, I focused on marketing and advertising, and just kind of started to find a love for business. And that's probably the blueprint of my history.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Humber College in Toronto, just on the west end of Toronto in Canada.
Very, very nice. And what are you working on today?
Right now, I'm building Third Act. It's an NFT theater platform. It's a platform for NFTs devoted specifically to theater.
Very, very nice. And I understand you've also got a background in the agency world. Take us through that a bit.
Yeah, that was actually my first venture. I have, again, a marketing background. I studied it in college. And at a certain point of growth and working on big campaigns and moving to New York to work with an agency, kind of making my own agency became the next step. I've always been kind of trying to achieve and succeed at every step of my career. And at a certain point, it came up where I had to start my own agency. There was layoffs at the agency where I was at previously. And so it was kind of, put up or shut up. Make something work. And my then copywriting partner and I started in the Upper West Side of New York at a kitchen table working on some clients and local ones, and then kind of very bootstrapped hustler mentality, put together some client roster and grew the agency to zoom forward 4.5-5 years now. We've grown it to 15 people. We have clients around the world and a team that's dispersed again around the world. So, pretty proud to have that got to where it is. And we deal a lot in sport, retail, and even some healthcare. And that's what I've been working on for the past few years. And I also got involved in entertainment while I was in New York. It's kind of like very undeniable, the force of theater and Broadway. And got involved as a producer and investor a number of years ago. And then my agency has taken on more entertainment work and theater work. And that's given birth to my latest venture, which is Third Act, the NFT platform.
Very, very nice. Take me through some of the struggles that you basically faced building the agency and how you came to start your current NFT platform. So what led to that?
Yeah, if you want to hear a lot more of the struggles and the scar tissue, I guess I can talk to you about the agency side of things, because I used that was 5 years of grinding and figuring out, making a lot of mistakes and learning from them, and I'm applying a lot of that learning to the NFT platform, so it's much smoother the second time around. For the agency, it's interesting. I didn't really have the luxury of time to figure things out or to second guess myself with the agency, because I had to make rent in New York. So it was really my partner and I at the time, we didn't have a ton of time to figure out strategy, positioning, naming, all that stuff. So it was really like, we got to go out there and sell. It wasn't as much around doing a lot of research, which I am a really big advocate for that stuff. It was really, we know the product, we have a creative background, and we were selling a creative product, we were selling a digitally focused creative product, or service rather, and let's go out and find people who need it. So it was really just the grind of literally knocking on doors, walking down the streets, local mom and pop businesses that we would start with to find essentially product market fit. You get said no to a lot. You misprice things a lot in the beginning. People, a lot of times a creative service or a creative product can be tough to price, and it's different in everybody's head what things cost. So you can misprice things and lose deals, and you can underprice things and sell yourself short, or overpromise and realize it's you're getting way underpaid for what you're doing. So those were the hard lessons that I learned in the beginning that I'm applying now to Third Act. So things are much more kind of stable out of the gate.
Fantastic. So you've carried these lessons onto Third Act. Third Act is in an emerging, I should say, industry or market, which is NFTs, blockchain, crypto, so on and so on. How do you see that business coming to life, that industry coming to life?
I really think that NFTs are, I mean, you're involved with it as well. So I'm sure you have a perspective on it. My take is NFTs are the tip of the spear. They're the entry point for a lot of people to get involved with crypto and what it's going to do later on. I liken it to Netflix in its launch early days when it was still delivering DVDs, even though streaming, you know, was going to be the future, and it was known by the founder at the time that streaming was the future, but the DVDs are what people want now in the format they're familiar with. So I think when NFTs become much more common or accepted by mass markets, the age of utility of NFTs will rise, and what you can do with them, we'll see just explosions of creativity around what you can do with that asset.
Absolutely. For you guys as Third Act, what does the future look like for you guys? Because theater, I mean, many would say that's a pretty old school and traditional industry. How are you guys going to change the world of theater with NFTs?
Yeah, it is a laggard on technology generally. It's catching up, but there's been a lot of great response to the platform. People are saying, you know, finally theater is kind of, this feels ahead of where things are at, or at least on pace with where things are at. A lot of times theater's pretty slow to adopt this technology. So I think that the market's warming up to it and catching up, which is great. And what we're going to bring to it is, number one, a brand new source of revenue for shows and producers to commercialize their content. And this is something that really helps the process sorry, I've got a sleeping dog in the background here. This is really going to help producers and shows commercialize in a brand new way. It's going to help their shows recoup. It's going to help bring new life to new shows that don't just need a 20-week window or a 16-week window to recoup, because there's going to have a longer life cycle for the content. And secondly, it's not just something like a mug for people to buy. I think that this is a new medium for shows to interact with fans, and for how fans can interact and engage with their favorite shows and the people behind those shows. So I think you're going to find it's a different mode of engaging fans and audiences. And right now we're treating it very much like a very visual platform, and we're shoehorning things that we're familiar with into it, like trading cards or like, show programs, and kind of doing a straight take. But eventually the medium will find its own best use cases to engage with fans, and how fans can, you know, get tokens to interact with actors or people behind the scenes on the shows.
Have you had industry resistance? Have they adopted it? What are the challenges?
Oh, absolutely.
What are the biggest challenges you've faced so far?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, absolutely. So much across the board. I find that there's a spectrum of attitudes towards new technology in general, and this technology from theater. You have some more of the veteran players in the industry that have, you know, come up producing shows and making shows, or they own theaters and they like to do things a certain way. And there's validity to that, because they are in positions, very powerful positions, and have a lot of control over shows and marketing. And so, you know, they're much more cautious and skeptical around getting involved. And then there is this new generation of theater goers that are, you know, watching musicals on TikTok. You know, I think Lion King just announced they're doing a deal with TikTok to stream the show on the platform. Like, that's for theater so progressive and such a, for me, such a signal that things are changing and that there is a new audience that will probably engage with the shows well before they ever see them on stage. And as a theater owner or a producer, do you need every person in your audience to have seen the show live to engage with them? And do you want to? And I think the answer is yes. I think you want to get your show. It really comes down to your show and your IP and getting that in front of people and engaging with them in creative ways, because every theater has limited capacity and every show has limited runtime. But these, and yes, these assets are limited, but you can create more of them and you can sell them to or present them to an audience that is completely global.
Absolutely. Because the reason why I ask is because you're bringing a brand new industry to, a very modern and technical industry to a very traditional industry. So, they couldn't be further apart, in my opinion, which I could be wrong though. So,
no, you're spot on.
Yeah. And because why most of our audience is startups and startup founders, basically, they're coming into a similar situation because they're finding problems and they're trying to solve them in industries. And a lot of the time there's resistance there. So getting through the resistance, getting over that barrier to entry is really a priceless experience that you could share with the audience.
Yeah, from as a founder, I think it's important to really look at the problem you're solving or the opportunity. And I think a metric that, again, I don't have like an MBA background or anything like that, but there should be a way to judge some of these ventures, which is how obvious is the opportunity and how accessible is it for competition? You know, what's the barrier to entry? And I think this opportunity is really interesting to me because these two worlds are so disparate from each other that it's not as obvious. But when you show people the numbers, it becomes very clear. Just in audience sizes and an addressable market, it's so massive. But sometimes if something's too obvious, you know, you have to work under the impression that there are, you know, hundreds, tons of other people trying to do exactly what you're doing, and that use that as motivation to try to get ahead or not get complacent. Sometimes we think we have this great idea and we own it, or nobody else is going to think of it. I generally tend to think the complete opposite, that if I think of something and I'm Googling it, I don't see much of it out there, that it's going to come out soon by somebody, or you should really have, just keep that motivation. Don't get kind of jaded by your idea or fall in love too much with your idea that you get complacent. Feel like there are three other people who are doing exactly what you're doing. And trying to compete for the exact same thing. And that has always boded well for me to stay motivated and execute on the vision and try to see through a plan into reality.
Absolutely. Are you able to share with me a moment in your lifetime or a piece of advice that you've received that's really impacted you as an individual?
That's a great question. Maybe could you be more specific in my life? That's so broad. You want?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Advertising, entrepreneurship.
No. Just a moment in your life, like somebody gave you a piece of advice, and that really made a huge impact on your life. Like it really changed things for you. I mean,
I'm trying to think when that watershed moment might have been. I'm sorry to give put some dead air on me.
No. It's all good. That's the whole point of the question, is so it gets you thinking of that moment, that nugget that really impacted you.
Yeah, I've gotten some great advice, I think, at some pretty key times in my life. Probably when I was picking a college, some stuff in college, when I was working on my agency. And
let's talk about the agency.
Pardon me?
Let's talk about the agency one. That
sure.
Wisdom there.
Sure. I think that, I was giving one down. I think on the agency side, okay, that's interesting. And it's the agency thing is kind of, it's a little bit contrasting to just being a pure founder, because as a founder, you really have to cater to your own vision and executing your plan as you see it. As an agency, you're working on behalf of somebody else, of a brand, for example. So you have to really know, you know, when to push for your idea, when to embrace a client or a brand's idea. And I think I'm trying to remember who told me it, but really early on, there was just some advice around making sure that you don't get too selfish with your own ideas, and that really keeping an open mind, and that good ideas can come from other places besides yourself. And I think as a solopreneur, you can kind of fall into that echo chamber where you're really talking to yourself a lot. As an agency owner, you have to be hyper collaborative. And I think making sure that you always remember that great ideas can come from anywhere is a great piece of advice that I still hold on to.
Absolutely. Makes a lot of sense. Moving on, what would be the biggest piece of advice you would give to startup founders looking to build a company from scratch, basically?
I think know your leverage, know what value you're, you know the problem you're solving, know your leverage, know your audience, and really try to know, don't think too far ahead. We can kind of, we're in this age where we have like this fetish with the future, and we love to talk about long-term vision and all that, and it's important, but in the beginning, and this was something that I learned with the agency, like you have to execute today. You have to move the needle today. You have to make something happen today. And I think that's really important, to be really present focused as well as having an eye on the future. But you go through moments where you get, you know, these new plans and new things, new developments in industries that cause you to, you know, adjust your long-term strategy. But being really good in the present and really good at a really good short game, being really good in meetings, don't discount those things. And I think that the more simply you can put you know, your plans into action today, and what is the one single best step I could take today, whatever your venture, whether it's in sports, it's you're selling granola, you're in media, whatever it is, what's the short game that you've got to execute on first?
Well, there you go. And you made a very valid point. People talk about the future and whatnot, and they're struggling with the present. So it doesn't really make much sense. Eric, you've been amazing. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you joining me on the show. Before we let you go, where can people get in touch with you?
You can reach out to me. I'm on all the social platforms. I'm not super active, but you could also email me direct if you want, eric@georgeandsaul.com, or you can hit me up on LinkedIn. You'll find me there standing in front of a green background. Eric Neal.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Eric Neal, thank you very much for joining me on the Business Wilderness.
Thanks so much, Ahmad. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to The Business Wilderness. Subscribe to our show for the latest episodes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And for more information, check out our website at businesswilderness.com.